This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
This is Marketplace Money from APM, American Public Media. I'm Tess Vigeland.
It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe.
Welcome to Remarket for Friday, May 18th. I'm Jeff Peters, one of the audio producers here at Marketplace. We record the interviews and reporters, put the audio pieces of the stories together, and make everything you hear on the show sound as good as we can. This week, we're going to revisit the interview we did with President Obama from the ears of an engineer. And we'll have the premiere of a new segment for Remarket, Get to Know a Brit. But first, we're going to look at Marketplace from the control room. Marketplace is live each day at 2 p.m. Pacific, although many stations get it on the air later in the afternoon. All of the elements, stories, music, teases, etc. are played manually during the show. Nothing is automated. On Wednesday this week, I recorded what happens in the control room during the show and put together a little montage. You'll hear myself, our director Fiona Ng, engineer Chris Clark, and of course Kai on mic and on talkback from the studio. Here we go.
Hi, thank you for all your help. I apologize for the mistakes I will make.
Up front?
Yes. It's nice, no? It's refreshing, no?
Saw a great quote today about the European, debt crisis. The euro will leave Greece. It went before Greece leaves the euro.
All right.
Everything is in, miraculously.
Yeah.
And there are two stings throughout, okay?
Yeah, I wrote them down.
And also, bridges are kind of short.
Okay.
It's just that kind of show today.
Okay. Tonnage. Here we go.
10 seconds. Live show.
Really?
Really.
Marketplace is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
I saw a great quote today about the European debt crisis.
Right,
the euro will leave Greece, it went, before Greece leaves the euro. Looks like that's already happening. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace.
Go.
Agreed with Wall Street and congressional Republicans that the financial system by then was...
Start music at 11 back on tape, and I'll cue you to fade. Thank you.
Wait, you're welcome.
Thank you. I just really wanted to thank you.
All right.
Because I f***ed up so much.
All right. You haven't.
I haven't yet.
Still a work in progress.
Just want to put it out there.
We're good.
Low expectations.
Bars banks from gambling with customers' money.
Oh, I know what I want to ask you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Then is he going to talk and then we hit the stink?
To show
you
how... Thank you, Matt. He
you're
totally
welcome.
Ad-libbed on me.
...has fallen in the past 5 years.
I will figure out the bridge. I mean, the numbers.
My 15-year-old
numbers
son,
45 and
is
down.
Going to help out.
This is Marketplace from APM.
He's coming in.
Ready or Garner?
Accountability office.
According to the Urban Institute, half of adults 62 and older end up dropping
I didn't
out
think
of
you
the
can
workforce
see
within 9 months of losing a job.
For this no tag is going to be a hot sting.
So, well, but we're doing a sting and then going right into Dubner.
Exactly, and it's AOT on Dubner.
He can't go home. He has to say APM at the end.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's got his final.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. I hope you can join us again tomorrow.
Back to you, Speed.
This is APM.
That was a hair.
The clone would have been out of stroke right there.
So let me set the scene. It's Kai Rizdahl, Deb Clark, our executive producer, and me standing in the middle of a solar panel field waiting for the president, and we hear, "He's on his way," from one of the Secret Service guys. So, of course, I start recording. Kai was on mic, but the president wasn't yet. Before the interview, he ribbed us a bit for what we were wearing.
This is Jeff Peters. He's my engineer. Yeah, he's going to be... And there's Deborah Clark, our producer.
Hey, Deborah Clark.
She's nice talking to headquarters.
Good to see you.
Nice talking to you. Yeah. Yeah. Can I really? Because it's just crazy hot out here.
I mean, you're very well dressed.
Right, this, for a radio guy.
I think this
way.
Is like the best dressed radio guy I've ever seen. Huh? Got the pocket square and everything.
Today only.
Only today. You're not bad for the sound guy too. That's a spiffy jacket. That's a good look.
At the end of the interview, I needed to get the files resent to our L.A. studios to get it on the air for the 3 p.m. show. So I hopped up and started working. In doing so, I turned my back to the president right as he reached out his hand to shake my hand. Over the motorcade sound, you'll hear him say, "Don't leave the president hanging," as I turned around to see him hanging.
Thank you very much. Sir. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Thank you, man. Don't leave present here.
Sir, just a couple of books. Just a little embarrassing. So, moving on. One story that everyone was buzzing about on Tuesday was Stephen Beard's Morning Report feature on France's new president, François Hollande. Stephen has the ability to put these stories together very quickly and still give it just the right amount of information, nuance, and, of course, the Stephen Beard wit and wisdom on any subject.
She wants to tighten the purse strings. He wants to splurge. She's for austerity and he's for growth. But don't expect the clash of the titans when Merkel meets Hollande today. He's not quite titan material. Analyst Paul Vallée says in France, Hollande is known by his opponents as flambé.
It's a caramel pudding, which is known for its soft and flabby constituency.
And so he may seem when Angela Merkel gets her hands on him, says analyst Suda David Wilp. She says the German leader will use all her manipulative skills on her guest.
I think she's going to take time to assess him, his personality, and probably see how she can shape him and influence him.
The two do disagree. During the French election, Hollande called for Europe's new treaty promoting budget discipline to be renegotiated. But German lawmaker and Merkel ally Peter Altmaier says that cannot happen.
It was concluded by 25 countries, and that means you cannot renegotiate a treaty every time there is a national election in a country.
In the wake of his victory, there has been talk of Hollande leading a pro-growth, anti-austerity group of Eurozone countries, including Greece, Italy and Spain, and ganging up on Germany. Forget it, says Paul Vallée.
The Germans are going to be very firm on their policy principles because they have the money, they hold the cards here.
And, says Suda David Wilp, they take a dim view of European backsliders.
Germany has had its reform and belt tightening over the years, and the other countries should also line up to do the same in the European Union.
So when flambé arrives in Berlin, will the pudding wobble? Paul Vallée thinks he'll live up to his other nickname.
Some people have nicknamed him the eel for his capacity to wiggle out of a difficult spot with some kind of choice formula. I think we're probably going to see more eel than pudding in the next few weeks.
So more wiggle than wobble. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This next story is from Wednesday of this week by Sarah Gardner. You might have heard a snippet of it on the control room montage. It's called Older Unemployment. Kind of hits home with me, personally. Kind of scary.
According to the Urban Institute, half of adults 62 and older end up dropping out of the workforce within 9 months of losing a job. You could call that giving up or facing reality, depending on your point of view.
Well, I think they're facing reality.
The Urban Institute's Richard Johnson says if you lose your job in your 50s and 60s, brace yourself. It now takes folks 55 and older more than a year to find another gig, and it almost always pays way less. Sarah Ricks at AARP says that's why many jobless seniors are opting to simply retire early and collect Social Security starting at 62. Problem is, by retiring early, they're taking a 25% hit on their monthly benefits.
By the time you're 75 or 80 or so, when healthcare expenditures increase, that reduction in benefits can really have an adverse impact on financial well-being.
The Urban Institute figures workers lose an average 9% in retirement income for every year they're out of the workforce. Between job layoffs, shrinking home values, and disappearing pensions, the image of the carefree, golf-playing, cruise-taking retired couple begins to sound quaint. And that, says Christine Owens at the National Employment Law Project, is bad for all of us.
We actually, as an economy, depend a lot on what seniors spend as part of our consumption-based economy.
Less money for the economy and passed on to the kids. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Now it's time for a new segment on Remarket, Get to Know a Brit.
I really want to know.
We're an international show here at Marketplace, so it stands to reason we would have people on staff from around the world. And we do, but mostly from Britain. First up, I would like to introduce to you our foreign desk editor, John Buckley. John, welcome to Get to Know a Brit.
Delighted.
Explain a little of what it takes to wrangle people all over the world and do these stories and get them on the air every day.
Persistence, but we're very lucky in having Stephen Beard in London and Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. and a whole network of people around the world who, you know, basically go out and get the voices of regular people and the experts that we need for the stories.
Do you think it helps that you are, in fact, British when you're talking to these people?
I think it may not help.
But before you did this job, I understand you had a completely different kind of job when you were in England.
That's right. I was a cop in London. I was a policeman.
Were you a tough cop?
No, not really. No, I wasn't.
You were maybe more of the polite cop.
Yes.
Did you ever say, "What's all this then?"
No, I didn't. No, I. But it was quite interestingly, when I was at police training school, the first question you would ask people when you went to any incident was, "What exactly happened?" And so, actually, in many ways, there is a number of parallels between policing and being a journalist.
Oh yeah, because you're asking the W's.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you carry a weapon?
We had a
club.
I think it was about 13-inch long wooden truncheon made of cherry wood, which had been carried by London police officers since the Victorian era. And that was it. No guns.
You ever use it?
The incident in which I drew it was a little odd in itself. There was someone who was out of his head and went at me with a knife. So I produced the truncheon. But I was so shocked by the fact that someone had done this that I said, rather like a sort of school principal, I said, "Drop that at once." And he did. Maybe it was the uniform. But, you know, that was the one and only time that I ever used it.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Our next Brit is our executive producer, Deb Clark. Before becoming our executive producer this year, she, Kai Rizdahl, and myself went to China for 2 weeks of feature stories on the Chinese economy. Deb Clark, thanks for being on Get to Know a Brit.
You're very welcome, Jeff.
I wanted to go back and revisit when we were in China, and one of the most happy times in China for the whole 2 weeks we were in China, we had just interviewed Jim McGregor. Is that his name?
Yeah, Jim McGregor.
And we were at this shopping mall that was right next to the original Communist Party headquarters, and it was the 50th anniversary of the Communist Party. But after all of that, it started to rain a little bit, and we went to a little restaurant. We actually sat outside under an umbrella.
That's right.
And you ordered a Boddington's. And the trick of that is, when the waiter brought it, you were very, very adamant about him not opening it, him not pouring it in a glass. So take me through what needed to happen.
That's right. Well, there were two things. One, it had been at least a couple of weeks since I'd had a Boddy's, which is my favorite beer, and I'd been drinking Chinese beer, which is okay, but so I was so excited, you remember?
Yes.
When we saw it on the menu, and I just, oh gosh, I was so happy. And then he brought it over, and you have a Boddington's is a perfect pour, meaning if you do it just right and you have a pint glass, it's a beautiful experience in terms of how it feels, looks. It's just lovely, and I really wanted to do it. So here's the trick. You have to, you tap it a wee bit to make sure that it doesn't just froth up. And
that works, just tapping it on the top?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tap it on the top, and then, pop it. It's a can. It's the only canned beer
I will
drink.
But it's a big can.
It's a big can.
Yeah.
And then, you take your pint glass. It has to be a pint glass because that's the perfect size. If you get just a glass that's slightly smaller, it doesn't work. And you tip it slightly toward the beer, and you slowly pour the beer in, which is a lovely honey-colored beer, but not so slowly, because my goal, if you imagine that a pint glass is about yay big, which is about a foot. Do you think that's a foot, what I'm doing with my hands?
No.
Okay. Well,
that's maybe 9 inches.
No, that's about a foot.
Okay.
Anyway, if you imagine you've got a pint glass that's 9 inches tall.
I like how we're doing measurements on the radio.
With visuals.
Yes.
So if you imagine a pint glass is 9 inches tall, my goal is to get the top 2 inches of the head of the beer, meaning the frothy, creamy part. That's my goal.
Okay, that's very scientific. If you don't, what happens?
I like the way it looks.
Does it change the taste?
Probably not.
I can't
believe this is actually
the bottom line is, don't get between you and your bodies. that's really
are we
it.
Done now? Is that
I think
the
we
end
are.
Of my...
Yeah.
Okay, no more details. Okay.
Next, I talk with Stephen Beard, our London bureau chief, but we're not entirely sure he is indeed British. Tell the story about the email that you got that claimed that you weren't even British?
Well, the show received an email from a listener who said, who is Stephen Beard trying to kid with that fake British accent? He said, I've listened to Beard over the years and I've heard the accent slip on a number of occasions. He's obviously an American trying to masquerade as a Brit. But why? What for? I must say I was rather flattered.
Was it certain words like that you would say more Americanized?
I guess my accent does wander a little bit because sometimes most of the people I speak to during the day are indeed American. So it rubs off a little, I guess.
I understand that also one of the producers here was getting you to say things like issue instead of issue.
That is an issue, yes. we used to get smacked at school if we said issue. You are not sneezing, boy. It's issue. But now I have my American colleagues constantly berating me for saying issue, and I have to say issue.
Luckily, you're thousands of miles away, and so we can't actually smack you.
Indeed. I draw the line at inquiry. I can't bring myself to say inquiry. It just sounds completely alien.
Say it
to
how
my
you would
ear.
Say then.
Inquiry.
Inquiry. Well, that's good. Because you would say inquiring minds want to know.
Indeed. Absolutely.
So, there you go. Well, Stephen Beard, thank you for that lovely story.
Okay, Jeff.
I believe that you are, in fact, British. You have my vote.
Not a fake Brit.
That's right. Finally, the last Brit in the segment is a man who actually got me my job here. We met on the sidewalk in front of a theater in North Hollywood drinking wine at intermission. His wife was in the show, and I was playing bass in the pit band. His wife introduced us, and he asked for my resume, and I've been at Marketplace ever since. He's been a senior editor and is now the producer of Marketplace Money and can be seen hosting the Whiteboard series on our website. So, needless to say, I have a warm place in my heart for Patty Hirsch.
Jeff, I think you've missed something here. I'm Irish.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, that wraps up this edition, and probably the only edition, of Get to Know a Brit. I hope you enjoyed this week's Remarket. I'm Jeff Peters. Thanks for listening.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.